Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are on the second half of our week going through the beginning of Romans 15. And as we began to talk about at the beginning of this week, when we get into the latter half of Romans, just like we see in Ephesians, just like we see in Galatians, the beginning of Romans is so inspiring about how God has transformed us, about who we now are in Christ, about what the blood of Jesus has done for us, about how the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And then we begin to move in to practical teaching. What does this look like in a life lived? And God, through the scriptures, gives us beautiful instruction of how we're to live in community with one another, how we're to live in walking with one another. And this is, friends, the project of our lives. By being smoothed out by one another, by being like stones, you know, like if the old analogy, if you put stones in a pocket, it rocks, and then they're smooth because they're rubbing against each other. They're smoothed out into stones. And so there's this reality of like, okay, this is the Christian life. We're renewed in Christ. We're made into new creatures. And then God takes a bunch of rocks, us, and throws us into his pocket. And we're living in Christian community and we're rubbing up against each other. And the stones are becoming smooth, hopefully. And so God, and I just want to say this, if you have any experience like me in any conviction about this stuff, it can be. And when God is calling us and we read something like this about God's standard, about saying, you know, bear the failings of the weak. Don't please yourself, but please your neighbor. And it kind of comes to you and you're saying, oh, I see all the times I'm pleasing myself. I see all the times I'm not bearing the weaknesses. And we have this frustration and this kind of crushing spirit to be like, man, I'm just so far from that. That what's happening there is an edge, a sharp edge is getting smoothed out. A sharp edge is getting touched on, and that hurts. It's hard when rocks rub up against each other, but it's a grace. And so as we come before God's word today, as we continue on in this journey of saying, how do I walk with my neighbor? How do I become humble enough to look for the interests of others, to please my neighbor for the good of my neighbor, and to edify him? We're going to talk about what is edifying today. And as I'm talking about doing that, I'm actually becoming smoothed out. And so, Lord, thank you for this grace. Thank you for the grace of being able to be confronted. Thank you for giving me the grace to love. Thank you for walking with me. Thank you for showing me who my neighbor is. Thank you for showing me ways that I failed them. We need this. And I know for me, that experience of, you know, I feel like at times I'm in a season where I'm like, whoa, I'm seeing my failure so much. And the Lord wants to be gentle with us in that place. Yes, he wants to convict us, but he wants to be gentle with us in that place. So just allow the Lord to come in that place. And remember, it's like we're rocks and we're just a bunch of rocks in the pocket. This is like the weirdest analogy, but we're just a bunch of rocks in the Lord's pocket, living in Christian community, being smoothed out, learning from Christ himself how to do this, right? Because he became a man. We're going to talk about that today to show us how he did this. So we have examples to follow. We have a supernatural example to follow, but someone who's become man and walked with us. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to read the scripture and see what the Lord wants to say to us today as we pick up in Romans chapter 15. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord, we worship you, and we praise you, and we exalt you. And first off, Lord, as we come to you in prayer, I ask wherever anybody is today, whether they're getting ready in the mirror, whether they're driving their kids to school, whether they're listening before bed, whatever it is, that you would pour out your love right now. That you would pour out your love upon them in a supernatural way. That they would just feel your love, that they would know your love. And then you would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. That any correction, any conviction today, we would receive as love. And Lord, I ask for special eyes to see our neighbor. Give me eyes, Lord, to see my neighbor. Give each and every person eyes to see our neighbors. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's read our text, and then we will go from there. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached thee fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Amen. So we talked about bearing each other's weaknesses, pleasing your neighbor. That's where we left off. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good. We talked about searching for their good, looking out for their good, and not pleasing ourselves. But it says pleasing our neighbor for his good to what? To edify him. Edify means building someone up, helping them grow stronger in faith and goodness. In that biblical sense, edify is to strengthen, encourage, and improve. Example of this, right? An edifying conversation leaves someone more hopeful, wiser, or closer to God. And this reminds me so much of this verse in Scripture. It's in Philippians 4:8, right? He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. So how do we edify? And I think this is a good focus. And this provides us a really practical checkpoint. I remember a while ago, I was like, man, I want to be known as someone when they leave conversations with me. They're like, man, that person just speaks so highly of other people. And sometimes, friends, I'm not that person. That's really convicting. The Lord has really been convicting me about speech. And sometimes I'm not that person. Sometimes I can be complaining. Sometimes I can be like, oh, the weather. I'm from Michigan. The amount that I complain about the weather, even that, it's like simple and it's not like sinful to complain about the weather. But the Lord's like, hey, like maybe we can be more uplifting in our tone. And so this is a really good check to say, how do I know if the way I'm speaking, if the way I'm engaging with someone is edifying, is building someone else up? And I think it's really easy for us to do this with people that it's like easy to do that with. Like there's always the fun people. There's always the kind people. But the people especially that it's hard. When you think of who is my neighbor, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring someone to mind that's hard to love. And so when it comes to that person, when I'm speaking with them, when I'm walking with people, when I'm entering into life with my neighbor, how do I know if something is edifying? First, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? I love that they put just in there because we're not just talking about things that make us feel good, like have good fuzzy feelings. Justice, purity, loveliness, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, things that are worthy of praise, and to make these things our mantra. What's true? What's honorable? What's just? And I think a lot of times it's easy to complain. If even at, like, for example, take your workplace, like how much do you and your coworkers complain about work to each other or complain about your boss or complain about someone else being frustrating? I think like in the context of our lives, when someone slights us or someone does that like annoyance or someone misunderstands us or we're embarrassed, is our first instinct to be like, okay, who can I talk to you about this? That's going to feel my pain. That's going to be like, oh, that's so annoying about that person. Right? Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, to think of, what's coming out of my mouth? Am I talking about stuff that's pure? Or am I engaging? It doesn't even have to be like, oh, that it's lustful or that it's bad. But a lot of times we just like engage in so much conversation about the culture. and about worldliness. And this is something I've seen so much change in my life, friends, being off of social media or even just being out of like the consumption of the news cycle. Like there's been things that, of course, we need to know what's going on in the world and pray for it. But we're not meant to know everything. And knowing every single thing that happens on X, knowing every single thing, you know, from every single bad thing that happens in the world, everything that's happening on the other side of the world, all this kind of stuff, everything that this person said that we don't like, everything about that politician that's annoying. Like, yeah, we need to know some stuff. But I think a lot of times we get caught in this cycle of like outrage. And so then we're always outraged. Like we're really always outraged and we're not really actually outraged about stuff that's like happening in people's lives. Like we're more outraged about that thing that we saw happening on the other side of the world than like our friend who was like mistreated and is in weakness and needs help. And so we're kind of like always, it's not, especially as Christians, I love when Pope Francis said this. He said like Christians are often walking around like not even smiling. And some people are like, well, there's not a lot to smile about. Like, look at the world. Like, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, you can still have compassion for the world and be like, there's a lot to smile about because I've been saved by the blood of Jesus and I'm going to glory and I'm going to share that with other people. But we just get caught up in this cycle of the news, the negative. And to check our mind and saying, what is pure? What is holy? What is excellent? I cannot edify other people if I'm not being edified by myself, by God's word. And we're going to talk about this tomorrow. And I think this idea, I love that the scripture that we read today said Jesus did not please himself. He sure as heck did not please himself. He came to a world to love the world. And what did the world do? The world rejected him. The world despised him as he preached, as he healed people, as he loved people, as he poured himself out for people. The leaders said, we hate this man. Our pride is rising up against us. Let's plot to kill him. Let's reject him. Let's despise him. If he wanted to please himself, he would have ran away from the cross. He would have stood up and he would have let the mountains roar in his power. He would have struck down his enemies with lightning bolts. But he walks his path of humility to the cross. His Jesus did not please himself. He does what is good. He goes to the lowest place. He says, what is the best thing for those that I love? It's to die for their sins. It's to offer my life. The best thing for our neighbor is to offer our lives, is to die. To die to ourselves, to die to our preferences, to die even to having that negative conversation, to die to indulging in gossip, to die to just only talking about shallow things of the world, to die to sharing always negative, frustrating articles, to die even to like negative humor. There's so much like humor and the way that we communicate in the world that's just sarcastic and like mocking, and it leaves us feeling icky. How do we edify? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, building up one another and following the example of Jesus, who did not please himself, but he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so today, friends, ask the Lord, how can I be edifying? First, what do I need to remove in my life that's keeping me from being edified? And two, how do I edify others? How do I build up one another in love? God bless and join us again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.